7 days. Or for 14 days, depending whether she has a boy or a girl, then she's tavelis in the mikveh. Until she's tavelis in the mikveh, she's mamish tameo. She's asura to eat maaser sheni. So be out of the men of the tame. She touches anything, she's been tame. After she's tavelis in the mikveh, then Rashi quotes from the Gemara, she has the din of tfulas yom morov. A man is a tful yom. A woman is a tfulas yom. There's a din of a tful yom morov until the end of the 40 days or the end of the 80 days. And when the end of the 80, normally when a person is tamei, or anisha is tamei, and they go to the mikveh, so they have to wait till the Har of Shemesh. We had it in Beit Zion, down to the Ches, wherever it was. Less Bechina. No, not responsible anymore. On the Less Bechina. So until Har of Shemesh, the person is considered tamei, is not permitted to enter the Beit Hamikdash, is not permitted to eat truma, not permitted to eat kosher. So here, the Torah is mechadish that the Yoledes has the status of a tfulas yom aruch. She has a status of a tfulas yom up until the end of the 40 days or until the 80 days. Then when it comes to Seisach Kachavma of the 40 day, the 80 day, then she's permitted to eat truma if she's married to a kohen. And then she's permitted to enter the baby. Then she's permitted to eat truma. Okay. But because she's still required to bring a carbon, she's still not fully tamei. That's what it says. She has to bring her karbonis, her olos yoledes, and her chasus yoledes. And then it says, v'tohar rom and v'kod amel. V'yikibor l'fnei Hashem, v'tohar rom and v'kod amel. When she brings the karbonis yoledes, then she becomes tohar. With respect to what? That's called the mechuzi kippurim. There are a few people, not too many, there's the zav, zav, yoledes, and mitzor, just four people in the whole wide world. These four people are considered tful yo, are considered the mechuzi kippurim. And until the time that they bring the special karbonis, they're still considered tamei with respect to achilas kodshim, with respect to knisa lamikdash, a special din. The Gemara has in the beginning of Pesachim, the Gemara quotes the machlekes b'sham and b'sil, when the Mishnah increases, the din is that you can't bring the karbonis until the morning of the 41st day, until the morning of the 81st day. If she had a boy, so she has to wait till the 41st day. If she has a girl, she has to wait till the 41st day. You can't be makor karbonis balaylo. But as far as the tful yom for the tumah is concerned, that goes off. The tumah goes off with respect to eating tumah, that goes off with the tzeisach kachavim of the end of the 40th day, the end of the 80th day. She doesn't have to wait till the morning. So the Gemara has a machlekes, the Mishnah has a machlekes, the Shana Nisilo, the malos and her malos. Malos yinei tahara. Her malos, the 40 or 80 days ends, at the tzeisach kachavim, the end of the 40th or the 80th day. With respect to achilas truma, what about the malos with respect to hakrovas hakorban? Does that malos end? She can't bring the karbanas hayoledes before the malos is over. Malos yimei tahara, tavi kevet mashnos, after the malos is over. What's the din of yoledes bringing the karbanas to hamalos? So she's not yoytze. She has to bring, he can't bring a chatos unless he mechuy. Chatos is not bobin endo. The old is not there. The old he can bring with that also. Although you can always bring the dad to the middle. So if you bring the Ola Sioledes to Hamlos, it's going to be a kosher carbon. But the Chata Sioledes will not be kosher. You're going to have to bring another one later. That's a question. In the last Perek in Zvochim, I think the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnah lines like that. That's a Chiddush Din. It's a Chiddush. What if the Oledes brings the Karbonis to Hamlos? So the Mishnah says the Ola Sioledes is Kshera. But then all is bob and edge of the dog, and the chatis yoledes is still because chatis is not bob and edge of the dog, and his man is dafki after the malos is over. What does that mean? That the all is ksheira, the all is ksheira, and it's all alone the shem chai vosso, and she's yaitse, so after the 40 of the 80 days are up, she doesn't have to repeat the all is yoledes, just has to bring the chatis yoledes. Or do you say no, that she's not yaitse anything, but because an all can be carried in edge and a dog, so the all is kosher, the chatis mamish psulo. But the Ola will be a kosher carbon. So the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis there learns pshat that she's yotzei, I think. Gotta take a look. I think the Rambam learns that she's yotzei. It's not a question, how can she be yotzei the Ola's yoledes before bringing the Chatas yoledes? The Mishnah says that whoever is obligated to bring, there are some people who have to bring a pair of karbonis together, an Ola and a Chatas. So the din always requires that you have to bring first the Chatas and then the Ola. The Gemara says that it's logical. We learn that from Sukkim, and the Gemara says that it's logical also, because the chatos, first you have to ask for forgiveness. First you have to be forgiven for your sins. And then you can start bringing presents. Let's say two people don't get along. And then they want to make up. So first they have to make up, and they have to be moichel each other, and then there's peace. And then after there's peace, then they have to discuss bringing a present to the other guy. So an Ola is a Doron, the Gemara says. So before you start to bring Doronas, the Baruch Shalom is angry at you, so he's going to take your Doronas broad in your face. First you have to bring a Chatos and apologize and say, I'm sorry, whatever Averi she did over here. But first Allah requires that you have to bring the Chatos, and only afterwards they bring the Ola. If the Din requires that you have to bring first the Chatos and then an Ola, then the Choyre, the Din should be that if you bring an Ola before the Chatos, it should be possibly Midiyavid because of the Psula Mechusa's Man. It reads as Din of Mechusa's Man. And Mechusa's Man means, Mechusa's Man is a technical term. Usually we use that term when we speak of bringing a korban before the eighth day. Shivat Yom Yutachas, Shor Kes Reis Ki Yivol V'Hav Shilat Yom Yutachas Yom Yom Yishmini V'Hol Yirot Tadu Korban Yishan Hashem. So if you bring a korban within the first 7 days, it's possible Afil B'Yevit because it's a Mechusa's Man. If you shecht any animal, even in New York, even in New Jersey, in Minnesota, if you shecht any animal within the first 8 days, it's also Bachilo, because it's a Suffolk neighbor. But that's only if it's any Yoduim Kol HaChadosh V'Anah. What if it's Yodua Shekol HaChadosh V'Anah? I know for sure that this was a full-term pregnancy. Then the Din says, I don't have to wait to shech the animal because it's Chulin. There's no need to wait till the eighth day to be Moiktiyah Mechal Suffolk neighbor. But in Korbanus, it's Xeris HaKosov, that even if you know B'Vador is that the Hema had a full-term pregnancy, it's Xeris HaKosov special, then you have to wait till the eighth day. The Pashtus says that it only applies to Behemoth, it doesn't apply to Ofer. One of the Achorinim writes like that. I think one of the Rishonim writes like that. It applies to Isis also. So the Pashtus says that it's not so. The Pashtus only says, Sharokas Veis Ki Bolet. That Zeres HaKosov only by Behemoth, not by Ofer. Shouldn't apply to Isis. So the, usually that term, Mechusas Man, is a psul if you bring a carbon before the Zman, Haroyli also carbon. Then you bring a carbon before the eighth day, so it's possible Afilu B'Yevin. If it's a Suffolk Nefel Avan, it's possible to be evident. Maybe that the Shechita is not good. If you have a behemoth that never had a full-term pregnancy, so then it's a Nefel. So a Nefel is considered as if it's not alive. So if you shecht it, the Shechita is not chal. You can't shecht a dead animal, even though it's walking around. We consider it a Suffolk Nefel, so then the Shechita is not chal. You can't shecht a dead animal. So we're talking over here, even if you know the Yodua Shebevada Shekola Chadoshim. So there's no problem of a Suffolk Nefel on the behemoth. But still, it's a Xeris HaKos, you have to wait till the eighth day. And even though if you shecht it in the middle of the 8 days, the shechita will be chal, shechita anachai. But still, the carbon will be tossed because of the psul, not a psul of mechusas man. Why don't you from psukim, there's a psul of mechusas man. So the Rishonim point out that mechusas man doesn't only apply if mechusas man, the Gemara talks about, what about mechusas man lebo bayom? What about mechusas man lebo bayom? This is a mechusas man, you should have waited till the eighth day, and instead you brought the carbon on the seventh day, on the first day, the behemoth was born today, you bring him as a korban. That's a mechusas man a day early. What if it's a mechusas man bo bayom? I was supposed to bring a different korban first. I was supposed to do a different drika first, and I did this drika. Let's say on Yom Kippur. The one little Yuma discusses. There's a specific seder to this drika sadam, so if you zorik one dam before it's haglas hazman, before this man came, so one has a discussion. Is there a din of mechusas man bo bayom on the same day? Maybe it's only a psul mechusas man if you omag them a day too early. So on the assumption that there is such a din, the Tosfos discusses this din whenever you have a person who's obligated to bring a set of korbanos. And one korban is supposed to be a chatas, one is supposed to be an ola. This in Kiddushin daf yud gimel. It's not in it's in an office also, it's in the kachim big of the sichtas too, but it happens it's in Kiddushin daf yud gimel too. In the normal sichtas that we heard of, that we're more familiar with. So the Tosfos raised Tosfos in the Rigua, explains over there what's going on. Mechusas man. Tosfos doesn't fully explain what the issue is. But Tosfos assumes that everybody knows what the Rigua, all the information the Rigua is going to fill in there in Kiddushin Yud Gimel. On the assumption that there is a psula mechusas man above Ayam, so Tosfos wants to know what's the din over here. If the Yoledes will bring the Ola before the Chatos, the din certainly is she has to bring the Chatos before the Ola. So she makru the Ola before the Chatos. Maybe I should say that it's possible. I feel a bit yet. How can it be possible? Is all of life, let it remain as an oilless nadova? That's what they mean. It remain on oilless nadova, but she won't be yotzei vechoy vosel. And the Rambam has this chiddush agabi chiddush. The Rambam says, the Rambam in the Tirush HaMishnayis in the end of Zohar learns that the Yoledes brought the oilless Yoledes toch hamlos that she's yotzei the oilless Yoledes. Not only is it kosher, the Mishnah says the carbon is kosher. The Rambam says she's yotzei. The Tosfos knows also that the carbon is kosher. That's the Mishnah. The carbon oil is kosher even if it's brought to Hamalot. But Tosfos asks, even after the Malot, let's say it's already the 81st day, it's the 181st day, 10 years after she had a baby. She had a lot of babies and then they built a Beis HaMikdash 10 years later. She comes to bring her carbon. If she brings the olas yoledes before the chatas yoledes, Tosfos raises a question. Maybe I should say that it should be possible. Afilu, no, she can't be possible. She shouldn't be yosi dechay vasa because klapi the chiyah hakolas olas yoledes is a mechusas man. If she'll bring it before the chatas yoledes, it should be mechusas man. Even though there's no halacha, she has to wait till the next day. Maybe you should say there's a din mechusas man lebabayo. So Tosfos says Tosfos is noted to say that two opinions, the 2 days. Most of the Rishonim hold that it's not so. They have a Mishnah that seems to say the Seder that it's not so. That if you bring the Ola before the Chatas, by the Oledes, it would be kosher. By other people, maybe not. By the Metzorah, not. Here there's a problem. Rashi and Chumash quotes the problem. And the Gemara asks in Zochin, in the beginning of Perakol HaTadir, the first daf in Kol HaTadir, that's Peites, I think. The Pasuk says, "Udimloti meito harola bein olabas tavik eviz ben shnasoli ola ben yonatola chatos." What's going on? The Torah says first she brings an ola, then she brings a chatas. The din is just the opposite. First she brings a chatas, then she brings the ola. Tzarchin and Godel on a pasuk. Pasuk is against the Mishnah. It says in the Gemara all over. First you have to bring the chatas, then you bring the ola. How does the Torah say Tzarchin? So the Gemara asks this kasha. So Rashi quotes the Gemara's answer. Lahigdim ha'kosu elu l'mikro'o. The Chumash only says that the Chumash only mentions the ola before the chatas with respect to l'mikro'o. What does that mean? Some should learn when you learn Kriya Satara, you read about the Ola before the Chatas. But the Din is not really true. You bring the Chatas before you. So what's the answer? What does that mean? The Torah only writes it first, but it's Labdavki. It's not so. Very strange. So why did the Torah write it in the wrong one? The Tosfos there in the beginning of Perakol HaTadir quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Kohen, Achidish Niflo. That when you're magdish the karbonis, there's also a seder. The mikro means the hakdasha. Not the mikro means kriyas haterah. When the woman or the husband who's funding this enterprise, or in summer the wife sits home and she has the baby, and the husband is going to work and he's making the money, so the husband is going to bring the carbon on her behalf. So when they're magdish the karbonis, they should first be magdish the ola and then be magdish the chatos, even though the Shas HaKrova, the Din clearly requires that it should be makriv first the Chatas and then be makriv the Yol. That's a fascinating idea, that there's a state of Kedimis in the Hakdosha HaKrovonim, that there is a Din of Kedimis in the Hakdosha. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a discussion in one of his Sforim. I got the name of the Sforim. He says that has 40 essays in it. Whatever, huh? No. Asman Daraisa has 22 essays. No, because the Asman Daraisa is Otios HaTorah. The 22, he wrote 22 essays, and he was looking for a title. So he wanted to call it 22 essays. Like Sher Schmeitzer, he wrote a book with 7 essays. So he called it Sher Schmeitzer. It happens that the Gemara, one place in Chulin, talks about the Sher Schmeitzer, that the 7 members of the Amorim. So Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote a statement, he wanted to print it, he's looking for a title, so it has 22 essays. They called it Oisiyas HaTorah, because there are 22 letters in the alphabet. But then he wrote another sefer that he gave, I forgot what the name of the sefer. Anyway, so he has an essay in the sefer, where the Hakdoshas HaKorbin is the Haskolas HaKapara. What do you say? No, how could the Hakdosh be the Haskolas HaKapara? Hakdosh is just like when the sefer makes a pair of tefillin. When the Sefer writes the Sefer Torah, that's the Haskolas Kima Mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah. But the Haskolas Kima Mitzvah Hanochas Tfilin? No, that's Hachonat Achefta. So here also, when you magdish the carbon, you make an Achefta, you prepare a Achefta of the carbon. And then the Haskolas HaKapara is the Avoidus. Shechita Kabbalah HaLochas Rikim. When you do the Avoidus, that's the Kima Mitzvah. So that would be the normal way to say. The Hakdosh is HaKorban and just the Hachonat Achefta. And then the Kima Mitzvah begins later with the Avoidus, and Rabbi Yosef Engel brings all the rayas that it's not so. This is one of the rayas that he doesn't bring. This is a very interesting raya from Rav Chaim Kohen, the Talmud Rabbein Atam. So he quotes the name Rav Chaim Kohen. Lahigdima hakos of Elo Limikro, that the Din requires that when she's magdish, she or her husband, whoever is magdish, the korbanis, it should first be magdish the Olas Yoledes, and then Mimagdish the Chatas Yoledes. There's a Seder in the Hakdosha, even though the Seder in the Avodah later on is going to be different. From the fact that you speak of a Seder in the Hakdosha, shows that the Hakdosha Lachorah is at the Lachorah, the Tchila Sakapora. Maybe not necessarily so. There's a din when you write Tfilin, also there's a din of decision. The have to write the Dalai Parshias in the right order, even though just the Hachanas ahead. Could be it's not. Anyway, that's so there's a Machlokes. Getting back again, there is a Machlokes B'Sham and B'Sil, the Mishnah increases, which is quoted in the very beginning of Psochim, on the Gimel, from the Aleph, I think. When is the Malos up for the purpose of Hakrovas HaKarbonis? Is the Malos up, say, Tachachachim of the night following of the end of the 40th day, the end of the 80th day? That's when the Malos is up for the purpose of eating Truma. That's when she's no longer at full Yom Aruch. The full of Yom Aruch ends at that day's Truma. Or they say, no, since you're unable to bring Korbanos Balaylo, so I consider Laila is like a Mechusas Man. You can't bring a Korban Balaylo. So maybe I should say, Bishami's opinion is that the Malos, the Hakoros HaKorbanos, is only up till the morning of the 41st day. What's the difference when the Malos is up? The Halacha says you can't bring the Korbanos till the morning of the 41st day anyway. What's the difference when you say, well, that's a general thing, you can't bring Korbanos Balaila, but theoretically the Malos is up, that says come the end of the 40th day. But you say, no, the Malos is not up until the morning of the 41st day. What's the Nafkamina? So the Nafkamina is, the whole Machlokes B'Sham B'Tilo is not Stam, a philosophy. The Nafkamina is, Rashi and Chumash alludes to this a little bit. The Mishnayos had it in. If the woman has twins, so she only has to bring one set of korbanos. She has triplets, she only has to bring one set of korbanos. She has quintuplets, sextuplets, she only has to bring one set of korbanos. What happens if she had, let's say, a baby girl, and the malos is 80 days, the malos is going to be 80 days, and then in the middle of that malos, she becomes pregnant and loses that pregnancy. So the Mishnah says that Rashi and Chumash quotes that a woman is obligated to. A woman has the dinam of you made tohar, you made tuma, and bringing the korbanos, the whole work. 7 days of tuma, 33 days of tara, and everything. Even if she gives birth to a nato, even if she loses the baby, but she had to have been pregnant for a minimum of 40 days. If she was pregnant for less than 40 days, so then the Gemara says that it's maya b'yam. That's not considered a pregnancy. And after 80 days are up, that is considered the beginning of a pregnancy. After 40 days, what is it, 80 days? After 40 days are up, then it's considered the beginning of a pregnancy. There's one Tanna who says that it's 40 days if it's a male baby, and if it's 80 days if it's a female baby. We don't accept that opinion. We pass that it's always 40 days. Right now, in the newspaper, they're writing about the research that they're making. What happens, Taka? Something Taka changes a little after 40 days. Something happens after 40 days. Gemara speaks about the Tzuras Havlad being shaped soon after the 40 days. So maybe that's what it is. Here it's an exact thing of 40 days. But there is something that corresponds to something in reality also after 40 days. So the Gemara has it in that if the woman is mapil, and they felt the woman was pregnant for a minimum of 40 days, and then she loses that embryo, so the din is also she has yimetumen, yimetare, and she has to bring her carbon. But what happens if she was mapil in the middle of the malos of a previous pregnancy? Let's say she had a baby girl, and the malos is going to be for 80 days, so she goes to the mikveh after the 14 days are up, and then she becomes pregnant again, and then she was pregnant, let's say, 40, 50, 60 days, and then she loses that navel. So she lost that navel in the middle of the malos from the first baby, then she's not obligated to bring another carbon. And if she has this, she aborts this baby after the fetus dies, after the malos is up, after the 80 days are up, then she's obligated to bring a second carbon, a separate carbon for the second uber, for the second ledo. So that's the question. That's the machlekes b'sham v'sila. What if he pila or liyom pe'alos? What if she lost the baby, she became pregnant a second time, she lost that baby the night after the 80th day was up, but before Alois HaShachar? The B'Sham may say the Malos is not up yet with respect to HaKrovos Karbonos. B'Sham will say, what are you talking about? The Malos is up. The Malos is over with respect to eating Truma. The Malos is over at Seisa Kachavim, the end of the 40th day, the end of the 80th day. The Halacha is that universal thing. You can't bring Karbonos until the morning. There's no Karbonos Balala, but it doesn't mean that the Malos is not up. The Malos is certainly up. We pass my Bissil. That's a machlokes is Bissil and Bisham. Bissil will say the normal way, the way we pass them, that the Malos is up, both Benegir to Truma and Benegir to Karbonos, would say to Kachavim of the end of the 80th day. Meshiva lo l'tuma, lo yishu lo l'karbin. Bissil alagis with Bishamai. If you say that the night following the 80th day is after the Malos is up, with respect to Tumah V'Tara purposes, means that her Tvul Yom Aruch status is over,
So Madua La Yishva La Karban, the respective Karban, also the Malos is over. Ait Aloha, you can't bring Karbanas Balayla. No, no, so you can't begin to bring the Karban until the next day. But it doesn't mean that Malos is not up. They were motored to Beis Shammai. Increases, yeah? I don't remember. I don't recall that. Could it be in the middle of all these dinim of Tum Vatara, the Pasuk says if you do, if it's a baby boy, you do the Bris Milah on the eighth day. The Gemara comments on this in Perek Rav Lezer Nemilo, that's the Perek in Masech HaShabbos, the 24 prokim in Shabbos. One Perek is dedicated to all of the Hilchos Milah. There really only 23 prokim in Shabbos. But they had a tradition that Shabbos is like a Kala. The Kala of Bizman HaTanach used to wear 24 Tachshit. So that's why Rabbeinu HaKadosh decided he's going to break down Masech HaShabbos into 24 prokim. But it worked enough. They made one Perek, made all of Hilchos Bris Milah, put into one parish just to fill it up, like Maseches Megillah. There isn't so much Hilchos Megillah, there isn't so much to make a whole Masechta. The one parish is about Hilchos Beis HaKnesses and about Kriyas HaTorah and about Chazoras HaShas and when the whole end of the first parish is Ein Bein This and Ein Bein That, all the miscellaneous things, because Rebbe had a tradition to have to make a Masechta out of Hilchos Purim. The Yerushalmi says, in order that the halachas shouldn't be forgotten, says Mizichum Yosef Mizaram, that the Indian of Megillah Esther is Dibri Shalom V'Yemes Kamita Shal Torah, just like the Halachas, just like the Torah Shabbat Peh will never be forgotten, so too the story of Purim will never be forgotten. And the Yerushalmi says the way to see to it that it won't be forgotten is to make a Masechta. You can't make a Masechta with one parent. So they padded it a little bit, so they put another dinim just in order to fatten up. They made a whole Masechta. It's really a shtikal ablof. There isn't really enough to make a whole Masechta just from Yoni Purim. The same over here in Shabbat, there are really 23 prokim in Hilchos Milah in the 24th Perek, in Perek of Lezer Nemilah. So the Gemara there in Perek of Lezer Nemilah has the Machlokas Amoraim. Is there a relationship between the Tumas Hayoledes and the Bris Milah being Bishmini? One opinion in the Gemara is that Kol She'ima Tmei Aleida Nima Lishmoina. Kol She'ima Tmei Aleida Eina Nima Lishmoina. The only time the Bris Milah is supposed to take place on the Shmini, has a din of Milah Bizman on the eighth day, is only in a situation where the mother is Tmei Aleida. If the mother is not Tmei Aleida, not where do you have a case where a woman has a baby, she's not Tmei Aleida. If it was a Yotzei Daifen, let's say it was a cesarean delivery, cesarean section, so then the Gemara says that there's no Tum of Atara. Like the Satanoim in the Mishnah in Nida, but we pass him that there's not Rav Lezer Nachar Chamin. We pass him that there's no Tum of Atara. So if there's no Tum of Atara, if the woman has a cesarean section, do you have to be Mala baby on the Yom HaShemini? Or do you say no, it could be Nimo the same day that he's born, you do the Bris Milah right away. So that's a Machlokes Amoraim, and there's no Psak. So we go Lechumra in both directions. On the normal circuit, so you go to Chumra, so instead of doing the Milah right away on the day that the baby is born, you say, no, maybe the din requires that you have to wait till Yom HaShemini. So you don't do the Bris till next week. Let's say the baby is born on Wednesday, so wait till next Wednesday, Lechumra. Because it's a something, maybe you can do it today, maybe you have to wait till next week. But on the other hand, let's say the baby was delivered, the cesarean was done on Shabbos, or a week before Yom Tov, let's say. So then, the Yom HaShemini is going to come out to be Shabbos or Yom Tov, so that's a Sufik already. It's a Sufik, whether it's called the Milah Bizmana. It maybe could have done the Bris last week. You could have done it 8 days ago, the day the baby was born. It was born on Shabbos, you delivered on Shabbos. Do the Bris Milah on Sunday. Because of that Sufik, so the din is that it's not Deich Shabbos and it's not Deich Yom Tov. Sefer Nishmas Avraham by Dr. Abraham, he quotes a chiddush from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who didn't say anything. He just points out there is a Rabbeinu Hananel on Maseches Chagiga in the second parak. The Rabbeinu Hananel speaks of a woman who became pregnant not aydei tashmish, not in a normal fashion. Bizmana said we would say the hechetimtzi, she had artificial insemination. Bizmana Gemara, they didn't have such a thing. Bizmana Gemara, they had the Sabra Bambati. A woman became pregnant, she went bathing in a bath, and there was water there, and there was some Shechazera there from before, somehow made the woman pregnant. So the Rabbeinu Hananel learns, there's an obscure Gemara there, very unclear what the Gemara is driving at. So some say Gemara is talking about the Christian religion, that Psulash in a Sabra mouth. And others say, no, the Gemara is talking about a real din. What's a din? Psulash in a Sabra, she allowed to marry a Kangolanah. And Rabbeinu Chananel learns, no, the Gemara is talking whether the milah is Deicha Shabbos. But there is a din that if you have a cesarean section, it's a speker of din, whether Deicha Shabbos or not. Why? Because the leida wasn't the normal leida. It's any mutmeya leida. So that's the machlekes tamarayim and a speker of din, whether the baby is nimel l'shmana when the mother is not meya leida. What if the leida was a normal leida? Absolutely normal. But the kisazria, the way she became pregnant, was a little irregular. It was by artificial insemination. Still irregular, even though there are a lot of people having artificial insemination today. It's still considered irregular. Maybe the day will come that everyone's going to have artificial insemination. So then it'll become normal, but still considered irregular. So Rabbeinu Chananel learns that that's the baya de leib shita, whether the bris milah is deicha Shabbos. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Reibach says, even though it's pilek loy merafs de nigra, how does he fit that into the Gemara? It doesn't fit with our girsan. Why should it be a suffix? But he says he can't go argue with Rabbeinu Chananel. Tosis uses a lashon that called Dvar of Dibin Kabbalah. Rabbeinu Chananel has to have some kind of a link up with the Goinim, and it's hard to argue with him. But he says we should treat it as a sveket adina. If the meal of his mana, the eighth day, turns out to be on Shabbos or Yontif, and the woman tells us that she had an artificial insemination, she didn't become pregnant in a natural fashion, we should recommend that they should postpone the bris milah. In Shulchan Aruch there's a minig that's mentioned that a woman who's a yoledes doesn't go to shul, because it says v'ela mikdosh lo sovad melos yimei tahara. She doesn't go to shul till after the 40 days of the 80 days, and then they have based on this a minig. If yoledes doesn't go to shul, so Anita doesn't go to shul either. So the Torah's Mima has a little bit, he quotes a little bit of a discussion on this, that this is why, because the shul is a mikdash miyat, so just like there's a din, she's not allowed to go into the base, she's not allowed to go into the shul either. So he quotes that Rashi says, Rashi says this is a pretty old minik from the days of Rashi, it must have been earlier. The days of Rashi was already a strong minik, so Rashi said you should know in the Pardes. The Talmidim of Rashi quotes that he said you should know that it's only a minik, it's not really a din, and it's not absolutely so. If you really treat the shul like a Beis HaMikdash, how can the men go to shul when they're tomei? And how can the women go to the shul? They don't bring the karbanas to Zman HaZasa. She's in Mechusi Kippur. So you can't enter the Beis HaMikdash till after the Havoas HaKarbanas. Obviously, the thing is only a minute. Yeah, a lot of the whole thing is only a minute. And many people don't have the minute today. It's different minhagim, whether Nisha needed goes to shul or not. Even quoting Shulchan Aruch, such a meaning that the women don't bench when they're needed. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's a little too much. They mechuyev to bench, according to one opinion, mechuyev to bench min ha-Torah. So what do you mean? They made up a new meaning that an Isha Nida doesn't bench, and she doesn't daven, she doesn't take Krishna. That's Keneged Adin already. There was a meaning that she doesn't go to Shul. Even that, most people don't have that meaning anymore. Regarding the Korban HaYoledes, this is considered a korban oil of a yorid. Oil of a yorid means that if you can't afford it, you bring a less expensive korban. There are different oil of a yorid. There's the mitzora also, in the beginning of Parshas Mitzora, also brings an oil of a yorid. If you can't afford lo sasik yadoi, can't afford this, then he brings that. Then you have earlier in Vayikra, at the end of Parshas Vayikra, you have three chatas oil of a yorid. Atumas migdash v'kadoshov, and shvuas ditui, and shvuas toedus also. There's an olive yoreh that if he can afford it, he brings a chatas behem, and he can't afford it, he brings a chatas oif, and he can't afford that, then he brings a minchas choytek. And here it's only an olive yoreh of two. There's only ashiris with dalas, there's no ashiris dalas and dalai dalas. One priestess has a lot to say about this, about the ashiris and the dalas and the dalai dalas and the relationships and the ratios and the proportions. Arithmetic, I wouldn't say mathematical, arithmetic calculation about how much all the karbonas have to be worth. Relationship to each other. Anyway, that's what we call a korban olav yard. Olav yard means the price goes up or the price goes down depending on how much you can afford. The Mishneh in Shkolim writes that they had 13 shofros in the Beis HaMikdash, 13 pushkas, and people would put their donations in the appropriate shofar. So the people who brought the machzor shekel for this year put it in the shofar that said Takman Chalitza, and the people who brought machzor shekel from previous years put it in the shofar that said Takman Atikin, and so on. So there was one shofar that the women would, those who had given birth to babies, would put an envelope with money, a check, whatever, and they would put the money there, and they would go home. And by the end of the day, the Mishnah says they would have the right to assume that the Kohanim had offered their korbanos, because we know the Kohanim was reasoning, and they would take care, they would empty out that hole. The other boxes, they wouldn't empty out the same day. But that box, that was for the purpose of Mechusi Kapar, the Zav, and the Yoledet. So the story is the whole big procedure, how he's metabra. The Zav, the Zav, the Yoledet, they bring the same korbanos. So they... So the Kohanim would empty out the whole box by the end of the day and be makruv all the korbanos to make sure that the women would be able to rely on that. They would know that they can eat korbanos and they can enter into the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah describes it that the women would leave the money and then they would go. They would disappear. So this is a kasha that Achreim had. There is a Mishnah in Tainus that says, Eich korbanos shalom korav ein oimid al gabo. That l'chadchila the din requires that the person should be oimid al gabi ha-korban when his korban is brought. The truth, the woman is a Mechusa Kippurim, she's not permitted to enter into the Azorah. She can enter into the Harabai, she can go into the Ezus Noshim, but she can't enter into the Azorah. Like in the Torah, is also Mechusa Kippurim, so he enters into the Harabai, but he doesn't go into the Azorah. He's in by the Shah Nicanor. He only puts his Bohenes in for the Matan Domin. But he's permitted to be, the Mechusa Kippurim is permitted to be in the Harabai. So the question is, true, she's not allowed to stand in the Azorah to be Oymed Al Gaba, but a woman never stands in the Azorah. Yishab Azorah Minayim. Let's say a woman brings a Chatur. A woman brings an Oylo. A woman is Machal Shabbos once for Shabbos, so she brings a Chatur. So she doesn't stand. Hech Kubana Shalom Korabein Oymed Al Gaba, where does she stand? So she stands in the Yezus Noshim, which has the status of a Harabai. And you say that requirement, the Kubana Shalom Korabein Oymed Al Gaba, she's nearby, she stands nearby. So here also, why does the Mishnah describe that the common practice was they would leave their envelope with the money and that leave it in an envelope in order not to mix up her money with someone else's money? Because the korbanos had to be bought from your money. You can't take a dollar from this one, a dollar from that one. So each one would put it in a separate bundle or wrap it up with a rubber band, whatever. So the Achareinim ask Akasha, how come that was the common practice? They just left the money and they went home to their hotel, whatever, and then they would assume that by Shkia, the Korbanos had been offered. By the time Shul Bein Abayim, the Korbanos had already been taken care of. What happened to the din of Korbanos Shalom Kor Vein Oymen Al Gabo? So the, in the Sefer Atikei Yam has a lot to say on Beitzo. On the first 15 document Beitzo, he has some discussions about other topics as well. So this is one of the topics that he discusses. How can it be that the woman doesn't stand by? So he quotes, I think, Rabbi Yankee Femden in the back of the Gemara, and they say, Oris al-Hashah suggests that maybe Mechusi Kippurim is different. Because the Gemara does say that the Korbanos of the Oledes are different. The Gemara says in the Dorim Daf Lamed Hey, that Hakot Tichm Das Chutz Mechusi Kippurim. When you mag the Shekorbin, let's say somebody accepted him upon himself a neder to bring an Oler or a Shlomim to the Beis HaMikdash. So he has to be magdish the Oler of the Shlomim. What if someone else wants to be magdish Shalman Oshi, he's kapha by chaver, or someone else wants to do me a favor? They know that I'm not so rich. They want to be magdish the korban, that I should be yotzi my chiyuv with it. Or korban pesach, or someone wants to be magdish on my behalf. So they have to notify me in advance, and I have to consent, I have to agree to this setup. Some, a guy wants to be magdish on his own, is not good. And then he'll send me a letter, it has been taken care of. That's not good. You have to have das odom, das bala korban, at the time of the Hagdoshah. So the Gemara says in the Dorim Daf Lamed Hey that the exception to the rule is Korbanos Mechusi Kippurim. These Korbanos, the Zav, the Zav, or the Oledes, and the Metzorah, even if they're not, let's say they're a Shaita, a Chevish, a Shaita, a Koton, but still the parent or the husband, whatever, or the wife, the husband is a Shaita, so the wife can bring Korbanos on behalf of her husband, who's a Zav, or whatever, to remove the tumah from him. That you don't need Das HaBailam over here. So you see that there is, it constitutes a separate category of a carbon, and the dinam are slightly different. But you don't need Das Odom. So that's what the Rabbi Yanke Femden suggests. And maybe the din is different also, but again, to this halach of Korbanos Shalom Korban, I'm in Agama. And Yeridei, it says in Hilchas Milo, that the Avi Aben, when there's a bris, so the Aviyah Ben should stand next to the Moel and be mitzvah him and appoint him as a Shaliach. That's the Lashon of the Mechaber. And the Bir Agro says that that's not the reason. It's not that he should appoint him as a Shaliach, but it's rather because the Zohar considers a bris milah done to the baby as if it's a korban. The Zohar makes comparisons that there's a din, you can't bring a korban into Liyeta, you can't do a bris milah into Liyeta, it's a family, there's some kind of relationship. So the Zohar, according to the Zohar, that the doing the bris milah to the baby is considered a korban that's offered on behalf of the father. So the Bir Agro says, that's the reason why the father should stand there. But that's because Lahodia Shahu Shlucho. They can call him up on the telephone when the baby is born, call him up in the hospital, tell him, I want you to be the Shliach. So what does the father have to stand there? Let's say the father's a nervous guy. He can't see any blood. He has to dafke stand there. So the Bir Agro says, yes, because Korban Shalom Karev, he has to say, Emin Al Gabo. It's not because Lahodia Shahu Shlucho. If I'm not mistaken, that Fikei Yam showed that this discussion started in Rishonim. He quotes Maharam Rittenberg somewhere. I don't remember. Maharam Rittenberg somewhere discusses this topic. How come the Oledes doesn't stand by when the Makar of the Korbanos on her behalf? Perek Ablez in the Milo, the Gemara has a drush, and the Mishnah has a drush on this pasuk. The Yosh Meni Imo, Psara Lostra. So the Gemara asks, what do you need this whole pasuk for? It has all the Dinam of Bris Milo already in Parshas Lech Lecha. What new insight is derived from this pasuk? So the Gemara has a Machlokes Hatanoim. How do you know that Milo Bizman is Decha Shabbos? Milo Shal Bizman is Takanah Decha. How do you know Milo Bizman is Decha Shabbos? One opinion in the Gemara is that it's Allah HaMosh Mitzinah. Generally accepted opinion is that it's learned out from this pasuk. That's exactly what this pasuk tells us. Yom Hashmini Imru Psar Losoi Afilu B'Shabbos. So on that assumption that Yom Hashmini tells you Afilu B'Shabbos, that then the Gemara continues to darshan Olosoi only Olosa Vada V'loi Olosa Sofik. That whenever there's any Sofik, then it's not Deicha Shabbos. Milu B'Zman is only Deicha Shabbos when it's a Vada, when the Sofik is not. So Tosis of course says Takasha Speka Deraisa L'Chumra. Of course it's not Deicha Shabbos in Sofik. What do you need a pasuk for? The Tosis proceeds to say that the pasuk is really needed for a different din. It's only an Asmachta. This drasha is only an Asmachta. Lin Chinuch has an interesting, fascinating teretz on Tosis Kasha. He says that if not for this special Zeres HaKosu, I would have said that whenever there's a Sofik, that it's a Sofik whether the Milo is Deicha Shabbos or not. So Havada, certainly you're not permitted to do the Bris on Shabbos, but if you went ahead and you did it, you couldn't say that it's chayiv for skila. You couldn't say that b'shegig is chayiv chatos. It'll be a sofik. Maybe it's chayiv al-shem toli, maybe not chayiv al-shem toli. You have to figure out what the hilchos al-shem toli are. But now that I have a gzeres hakosuv that alos avada v'loy alos sofik, so the pasuk tells me that b'toros vadai. And whenever there's a sofik, whether it's milu bizmano, so it's not that it remains a sofik whether it's dechah Shabbos. It's a vadai that it's not dechah Shabbos. If the fellow goes ahead and he says, I'm going to do a bris mila my baby, and the Eidim warn him, you better not, we're going to give you Misa, that's an Isa Vadai, and he says, I don't care, give me Misa all you want. So they'll give him Misa, they'll give him Kila. Or if he does it B'Shoigig, that's unlikely such a scenario. Or that he'll do it B'Shoigig, so we'll say that he's Chayv Chatos, it won't be a Sofik anymore. The Pasuk tells me that it'll be a Vadai. The Gemara considers that it is a Malacha. The question is what the malacha is. There's different opinions, but the Gemara considers it a malacha vada. The Gemara's lashon is magli l'sakin mona, magli l'sakin milo. So some achrayim understood that to mean that the malacha involved is m'sakin mona. Another said that's a joke. Min haschina has this discussion. So that's a big joke. What kind of m'sakin mona? He asks the goy won't see what the m'sakin mona is. So they say no, that it's a malacha of some Hashem say it's a malacha of gozeris. Shitim Kubetzis in the first parak in Ksubis says that just like if you cut off hair or the fingernails, it goes. If you cut off the oil, it's also goes. So that's the question. Okay, so you see something over here. And most of the Rishonim hold that it's not goes. It has nothing to do with goes. If you chop off someone's arm, that's not goes. It goes as long as you cut off hair or if you cut off a hangnail or something like that. If you cut off nail. But if you cut off skin, skin, that's not considered gozer. Even though the Shonim hold that it is gozer, the Dvar Avraham says only gozer on a Jewish baby. With the or horla is only to be cut off. If you cut off, if you do a mila on a non-Jewish baby, he thinks the shittim kubetz is what he read, that it's not gozer. It's like cutting off a limb. It's not gozer. It goes only if you cut off something that's tugit shefet to the body. So on Jewish babies, we consider the or horla something that doesn't belong, that it's oimidly he gozer. But the generally accepted opinion is that it's chovil, that the bleeding. And then Tosfos in the beginning of Ksubas discusses where's the tzricha legufa. So they hold, yeah, because you need some hatafa dam. Because it did require hatafa dam as an essential chelik of the mila, that's why we consider the dam as tzricha legufa.
According to Tosfos, let's say you have suffix, like a suffix shmini or suffix shmini,
mm-hmm.
So there, mimanasha, if it was only the seventh day, so the bleeding would accomplish anything. And if it was the eighth day, so you would be
mimanasha. Okay. Maybe in that case he wouldn't be chayiv vada. I mean, a time against him in Haschinach. And Haschinach says, no, that's what the pasuk says, that it's a vada yisim. I'm going to tell you that you don't have a pasuk on that, so it won't be a vada yisim. It'll be a suffix. Pardon me? Okay. Okay. Because the suffix, if it was ain't tzricha legufa, or was tzricha legufa, did you accomplish anything? Yeah. So the Safi gives the Nisa the Rabbanan. Okay. That halacha that we mentioned about 40 days, that before 40 days is considered maya b'alma, and therefore the woman doesn't have to bring a carbon yoledes, that's a question. Does that have any relevance when it gets to abortion? Some postmen hold that it does, but if the woman is only pregnant for less than 40 days, then you can't consider it an isur of netilas neshama. Most you can say is that it's an isur of chayvel. Let's say you cut the finger and it starts to bleed. It's an isur of chayvel. It's not an Isra of Netilas Neshama for purposes of Shabbos. Chayvel is a toll of Netilas Neshama. For the purposes of Vaisirtoch, it's not. The some Paskim hold that to do an abortion within 40 days, it's always an Isra, but the abortion within 40 days is much less an Isra. It's only an Isra of Chayvel. If any can the abortion after 40 days, that could be that that's the question of Netilas Neshama. There would be more room to be made within 40 days. That's how some hold. Moshe doesn't like that distinction. Moshe thinks that even within 40 days, even within 40 days, it's also an Easter of Ritzicha. Or let's say a woman is muberes and she's having difficulties in the pregnancy, and you're afraid that if you won't be Mechal Shabbos, that she won't eat on Yom Kippur or something like that, then she'll lose the fetus. If there's any far-fetched suffix hakana to her, which normally will be the case, and whenever a woman loses a pregnancy, so there's a suffix for her and a suffix for the baby. That's what the Rush writes. It's far-fetched to discuss about the situation. The Rishonim have an abstract, they have a machlokes. When a woman is pregnant, so it says in the Mishnah, she has to eat on Yom Kippur for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, she's permitted to. So there's a debate in the Rishonim for the sake of who's Pikuach Nefesh, for her Pikuach Nefesh, or even if it's only for the sake of the Pikuach Nefesh of the Uber. You say v'chay b'hem aloy shi'amus b'hem even on an Uber, that k'loch nevesh of an Uber is also decha Shabbos and decha Yom Kippur and decha kolotar kula not. So that's a debate between the Bahag and other Rishonim. So the Rosh writes in the last parak in Yuma, the whole thing is so ethereal, theoretical. How can you have a situation where it's only going to be a suffix hakana to the Uber and not to the mother? If a woman loses a baby, so it's a suffix hakana to the mother. Well, it's not like even in 1991 also, especially bizman atana, bizman atanoim. It was hard to treat the woman in such a way. She'll lose the baby. It's only a sakana on her, not a sakana on her. But if you have such a theoretical case, what would the din be? So it's a machlokes. So we pass in halacha that even a suffix sakana is also decha Shabbos. Even a suffix in din is also decha Shabbos. We consider this a suffix in din. So we say that even if the suffix sakana, even if the doctors can ascertain that to the mother, there's no sakana. The only sakana is to the Uber. So we say also that it's decha Shabbos and decha Yom Kippur and decha Kol Tarkula. So the Shabbos, what if the Uber is not even a 40-day pregnancy? Would you say that it's still Decha Shabbos or not? So there are different opinions on that. Yeah. If a woman, that's a Mishnah. Yeah. There, the din is, let's say, for picking up Ben purposes. If a woman has a miscarriage within 40 days of the pregnancy, so that's not counted at all as a baby. And the next one will be the Pchor, will have picking up Ben, and so on. But even if the first baby was more than 40 days, there, the Gemara says the Feirish, you have to have Dafke Atzuris Avlad. The din is that you have to have Dafke Atzuris Avlad. If there's no Atzuris Avlad, then not. That's the shaila. That's the shaila. Whether the tzuras of lot plays a role or not. I don't think in mitzvahs it happens. In the medical book, they show you pictures of what the baby looks like on the 43rd day. That's when it's 42nd day, 43rd day. That's when it starts to develop a tzuras of lot. Before 40 days, apparently they assume that it's not. Very soon, immediately after 40 days, that's when you start to notice a tzuras of lot. The whole Uber is only an inch by an inch after 40 days. But have a quarter, also the size of an inch by an inch, so you can see a picture on a quarter. So before 40 days, you don't see any picture, just a blob. And after the 40 days, you can't, the 42nd day, the 43rd day, then you can see the shape of the head and hands. It's like a quarter with shapes carved out on top of it. That's called the tzuras of life. It's not that it's like a tiny little bug. It's not like it looks like a cockroach. It doesn't have the advantage. It's a flat thing. Shapes engraved in it like a coin, and the shapes engraved in it. Probably also. Is it possible to see it through the sunlight? If it's possible to see on the sonogram the Tzuris of Lot, yeah, okay. Same thing. That's the Tzuris of Lot, yeah. No, the Gemara says it's not an absolute Shia. The Gemara says it's not. The only thing is that the Gemara says in Nida that we are Machmer Benegea to Yoledes. If the woman has a baby and there was a 40-day pregnancy and then she loses, then she has a miscarriage, then she has, and you don't know whether it's a Zohar or an Akeh. Son is known as a big bucky. All of his from our old kids. So he quotes all the Bekiyas back and forth, and he comes up with no raya. One way or the other, he has no raya. And I remember we were once discussing this, so Rabbi Shmerel Shulman says there's a Medrash Rabbah. Jewish Beth Kotzes? Okay. So Rabbi Shulman told us that the Gesherish in Medrash Rabbah, where it says that there was once a Kohen who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he wasn't making a Parnassah. So he told his wife he's going to go leave Eretz Yisrael, go to Medina Tayam, go to America, whatever, and make a couple of dollars and come back to Eretz Yisrael. So he told his wife, look, what parnasa do I have here? People come with mega saras. He fasts, I'll tell you the whole chokhmah. If it's like this, he fasts like this, and if it's like that, he fasts like that. And he tells her the whole thing. And then after she started to ask him some of the details about the sayor, about the hair growing, so he says, that'll never happen. You never have two sayras growing out of the same spot. Every sayor has a different spot where it comes from. That's what the wife told the husband. That he sees to it that every sayer has its own spot to grow from. You don't think he's going to take care of your panasa? You don't think that he knows what's happening with you? You're going to go to Medina Fayam? So the wife convinced the husband that he shouldn't go to Chutzlot. She's saying there is a and if the Vanishwam is so careful about every little thing in the world, he will certainly see to it that if they deserve panasa, they'll get it. And if they don't have any, because they don't deserve it. Nothing to worry about. So what do you see from the story? What's the moral of the story? That your wife can paskin the shadows on the goyim also. That's what it means. So what does it mean? That Kohen was married to a Kohenet? Or the Kohen was married to Yisraelis and a nation's Kohen, just like she's allowed to eat Truma, can paskin on the goyim also? Or maybe he was an Amor and he didn't know the din. Maybe his din is that a nation's Kohen or a Bat Kohen cannot paskin on the goyim. But there's a Medrash has some kind of a discussion about a woman paskining on the. The paskin,
and then she got some kohen.
Yeah, the Mishnah says that the kohen doesn't have to know the dinim. If the kohen doesn't know the halacha, so he has a rabbi who a Yisrael who knows the dinim, tell him amarto maybe who I'm atami amarto havo amitar. The nega will only be nitma, will only be nitar, based on the psak of the kohen, based on the statement, based on the amiras hakohen, whatever the kohen says, But the psak doesn't necessarily have to come from the kohen. The psak can come from somebody other than the kohen, in case he doesn't know the din. That's the question the stifler brings up. He says, we don't have anywhere a beferish discussion about this. The Gemara in the end of Chulin has a discussion. When do you say Kohenis has the same status as the kohen? When do you say Kohenis does not have the same din? So there's a machlekes amarayim with a couple of nafkaminis. The Gemara and the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, where it's discussed, never discussed the case of Rias Nagar, whether Kohenis would have the same status or not. Anyway, what are the Simani Tumah? This is in of three. There are three Simani Tumah. There's Michyo, Pisoyin, and Sealovon. Michyo means that you have Negev Saras, and in the middle of the Negev Saras, you have normal color skin. It's Michyo, Sosachai, but it's normal color skin. Then Pisoyin means that the Negev Saras is so big, and then at the end of the week it's bigger, slightly bigger. That's called Pisoyin. The Pisoyin has to be from the time that the kohen was Masgirit. Let's say I come to the kohen and I tell him, someone comes to the kohen and he tells him, look, I had this little Negev, I had this little thing on my arm, and then it got bigger, then it got bigger, then it got bigger, then it got bigger, and it's already 5 months, and every month it keeps on getting bigger and bigger. That's not called Pisoyin. From the time the kohen looks at it until next week, that's called Pisoyin. And the Mishnah says, sometimes Yesh Balahakal, sometimes La'achmer. It all depends on when the kohen looks at it, when the week is up. That's Pisoyin. Seya Lovin is another din. If the Seyor in the middle of the Nega, Rashi writes, Seya Ba Nega Hofach Lovin, Etchila Shachab Hofach L'Lovin B'Tzorcha Nega. U'miyut Seyor Shnayim. I mean, Shtei Sarit, doesn't he say Rech? That's Mishnah is like that. I think the standard Meforshim on Rashi point out, why does Rashi comment on the words out of order? V'seo banego hofach lovon. So you should say seyor miyot seyor shnayim. And then you should say seyo banego hofach lovon. When was it hofach lovon? It was hofach lovon after the nega was there. If first the hair turns white and then the nega develops around the white hair, then it's not a siman tuma. Why does Rashi comment on the words in the pasuk out of order? Some of the mafarshim point out that the miut seir shnayim is the hechrech to prove that hofach lovan. The question is, how do you translate the word hofach? Does it mean the hair turned white? Or does it mean that the nega hofach lovan? The nega caused the hair to turn white. So Rashi translates, that's how the Mishnah translates. The seir banega hofach lovan, ha nega hofach as a seir lalovan. You had a nega first. It's kodem ha nega l'seya lovon. First there was a nega, then the nega caused the seya to convert to white, then it's a sin and tumor. So Rashi is explaining the hechrach for that. So he says, if you would just say that it means the seya was hofach lovon, that the hair turned white, then it should have said seya ba nega hofchu lovon, because miyot seya is always shnayim. There is a din, and whenever there's a din of seir, let's say cotton becomes bar mitzvah, when it has shanim and simanim. What are the simanim? Shtei sarim. What kind of a din is shtei sarim? So really the din is seir. And seir requires shtei sarim. But paraduma, no? But paraduma is a din like that. If you have shtei sarim of any other color, possible. Whenever there's a din of seir, the din says that it's dafke shtei sarim. Some of Parshman say that that's why Rashi writes the words out of order. He's explaining what the hechrech of the Tanaim was to translate hofach lovon, meaning that the nega hofach as a seyar lovon, as opposed to saying that the seyar itself was hofach lovon, because it says that the seyar itself was hofach lovon, it should have said seyar la nega hofchu lovon. It's an interesting idea that in kol ha-tarekula the din of seyar is shtei sarim. Gemara has a machlokes in the end of Cheskes Abbasim, or the Kamad Afayim, Machlokes of Ekivin HaChomim, and the din, Al Pishnai made him Yochum Dover, the Rebbe Kiva Darshan is Dover, Vele Chatsi Dover. That when Yana have a Cheskes Abbasim, Shalosh Shanim, you have to have the same witnesses testifying that we know that he had the Achilas Haperis for 3 years in a row. And if you have one Kateidim who testify in the first year, we were the next door neighbors, we saw that this man was eating the Haperis. And a different Kateidim the next year, and a different Kateidim for the third year, so Rebbe Kiva says that's not acceptable because that's a violation of the din of Bishnai Menim Yochum Dover Dover Lechotzi Dover. And the Mishnah Bava Basra says against Rebbe Kiva, you can have three different Kitei Yedin, one Katachas testifying on the first year, and second year, and third year, and so on. And that's not a violation of Dover Lechotzi Dover. So Gemara says, so when is there a din of Dover Lechotzi Dover? So Gemara assumes that even the other Tanaim, also be the Chachamim, the Rebbe Kiva, also subscribe to such a din. So the Gemara says, the only time this Psul will apply, this their Sakkot will apply is, with respect to testifying that someone is bar mitzvah, that you have two Edim say they saw one seyer. You have to have two witnesses say that they saw shtei sarim. What if you have one Ed says, I saw one seyer? And one Ed says, I saw one seyer. Then the Gemara says, did everybody believe that that's a violation of Dover Lechotzi Dover? And the Ed is no good. So the Rishonim all discuss, Manishtana, why is it? Why do the Chachamim hold? Rebbe Kiva is consistent. Whenever you have a Chatzi Dov, it's not acceptable for us. Finish. But according to the Chachamim, will hold that if you have one Kateidim testifying on the first year of Shalosh Nechazot, one Kateidim on the second year, one Kateidim on the third year, that's acceptable. So why is it over here if you have one Kateidim testifying on one Seyer, one Kateidim testifying on the other Seyer? So you have two Eidim, that she, the person, the man or the woman, has two Sires. So why can't you combine it together? Why do you say no? Dov Avalei Chatzi Dov only excludes over there, doesn't exclude other cases. So the Rif has one shot, and the Ri has a different shot, and the Ramban has a different Shanham. So one of the Rashi has a different shot. So one of the Rishonim sounds like he says this shot, that Cheskes Habatim Sholosh Shanim is a din that if you eat Achilas Peres, Sholosh Shanim, you eat Peres and more Peres and more Peres, 3 years worth of Peres. So it's an accumulative thing. So the Chachamim hold that Chatzi Dover is good. You don't darshan dover with a chatzi dover. Chatzi dover is good as long as one katedim testifies on one part, one katedim testifies on one third, one kat testifies on one third. You put it all together. Three times one third is one, so it's good. But by shtei sarim, it's not a din that you need shtei sarim. The din is that you need seyar. And seyar and kavat harakula, the shear of seyar is shtei sarim. So when you have the shtei sarim, then it's one dover. If you have only sairachas, it's less than a chatzi dover. It's not even a chatzi dover. Because the halach is that you need, like Rashi says, seir, the word seir means shtei sarim. But since it's a mamish achatzi dover, so that's the nature of the requirement of Shtei Cyrus is different from the nature of the requirements of Shalosh Shonim. Then you need Achilas Peres again and again and again and again. So each Achilas Peres, not Achilas Peres. Here it's not that you need one Seir and another Seir. Two Cyrus together constitute one Simon. So if you have only Eidus, two Eidus have found one Seir, two Eidus have found one Seir, that's called a Chatzi Dover. They're the Chachamim Amaskim, but that's a violation of Dover Vilei Chatzi Dover. So this din is a famous halacha. The Gemara has the end of Bava Metzia. The Gemara tells a story. The Rabbi Bar Nachmeni was the world's expert on Hilchas Negoim. He used to say that also. He used to say, I'm the biggest expert in the world in Negoim. His days, he wasn't a gay. He lived in the days of the Yamaran. He wasn't a gay, but he knew Mishnayis Negoim. So the Gemara says there was a machloikis in the Bezen Shalmailo. Machlekes in the Rabbanu Shel Olam against the Mesista the Rikiyim. What's the din? If you have first the Seah Lavan and then the Nega develops around the Seah Lavan, first you throw the arrow and then you paint the thing around it. So first you have a Seah Lavan and then the Nega develops around it, so that Seah Lavan is not a sin in Tumah. So a person will only be a Mesorah Mukhlot if it'll have a Pisayon or it'll have a Michyot, Basachayim in the room. That Seah Lavan is not a sin in Tumah. What if first you had the nega and then it developed the seil oven on the inside? That isn't a symptom. What if it's a sofek? So normally you say sofek, the right in the chumra. And here there's a machloikas. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam, the Gemara says they were discussing it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oimer Tohar. And in the Sifta the Rikiya, the Rabbanu Shel Olam Yeshiva, whatever that is. Who is the Rabbanu Shel Olam? Who's there? And the Rabbanu Shel Olam Yeshiva. The Balatanya has a long drosh on it. Parshas Tavriya, and they tell you, who is there in the Sifta the Rikiya? The Rabbanu Shel Olam says Tahar, and the Sifta the Rikiya says Tameh. He says, the Chari, they're right. Take it, they're right in the Chumar. And then they're discussing with the Rabbanu Shel Olam what the din is. And then they say, Ma Noichak, well, who's going to be Machriya? Who's going to be Machriya? Machriya between the Rabbanu Shel Olam and the Sifta the Rikiya. So they say, in Bezen Shomad, they say, Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, because he's the world's expert on the Gorn. So they ask him, what does he say again? I forgot. I think he said Tohar. No. Yotze Nishmasa B'Tahara. The Gemara says that he said Tohar and then he died. And how did the Rama Paskin? Tomei. Against the Rabbanu Shlomo, against the world's greatest expert. So the Kesef Mishnah asks, what happened to the Rabbanu Shlomo? What happened to the greatest expert? Says strange, the Kesef Mishnah. The whole story is strange. You don't understand. Well, who is in the Sifta Rikiya? What's going on? What do you mean, Manoichach? What are they going to ask him? So the Kesef Mishnah has a strange answer. He says, how does he task him against Rabbi Bar Nachmeni, the world's greatest? How does he task him against the Rabbanu Shlom somehow? I don't think that bothers him. I think the Rashi Mishnah says, the din is like the Rabbanu Shlom. He says, so the din is like. And the Rambam says, not so. So the Kesef Mishnah says, he's not bothered about the Rabbanu Shlom. Not Hashemayim. So we don't care what they say. But Rabbi Bar Nachmeni is the world's greatest expert, so why do we ignore what he says? So the Kesef Mishnah quotes some Sardish Mekubal, I think, in the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam, I think, who says that since he was about to die, so when people are about to die, they already have one foot over there, that's also a violation of Lod Bashamayim. Whatever he said at that time, like the Gemara describes in the end of Kiddushin, what Rabbi Yudon Asi said as he was about to die. He was saying, Dibri Nefuah. He was saying with Ruach HaKadosh, he was speaking with Ruach HaKadosh, things that during his lifetime he never knew. A certain city in Babel, he never heard of it. A city in Babel full of Amayim, another city is full of Mamzerim. It's all with Ruach HaKadosh. He also, Rabbi Bachman is speaking with Ruach HaKadosh, you have to discount what he said. The whole Gemara is very strange. That's where the Baal HaTanya has a long drasha on that Gemara. What's the respect of Rabbi Shimon? Based on the Mishnah, yeah. Based on the Mishnah. In Ksubis, in Perek HaMadir, that Mishnah, that Machlekes HaTanoim, is discussed at length. In Perek HaMadir, what exactly is a Machlekes HaTanoim? According to those who hold Tohar, why is it Tohar? Why not say Safik Deraita Lechumra? Safik, whether the Se'alovim was Kodam LaBaharas, or Safik Baharas was Kodam Se'alovim, so the Rabbanu Shlom says Tohar Rabbi Achmani holds Tohar. What happened to the din of Sofik? The Sifta the Rikiya is right. Why shouldn't it be a Sofik? Why shouldn't you say Tamim is Sofik? Why isn't the Rambam right like in the Sifta the Rikiya that it should be Tamim? So the Baal HaTanya writes in the middle of his long drasha that's all Kabbalah. He writes a little nigla in the middle. So he says, apparently the din requires, just like by Sofik Mamzer, the din is Mamzer, Vada Ilai Mamzer Sofik, it is a din that you need Yidiyah, so Yisur, as a condition of the Yisur, and if you don't have Yidiyah for Yisur, then it's Mutum and HaTayrus, and here also, the Yidiyah Satumah is a condition of the Tumah. So whenever you have a Sofik, so Sofik is Tahar and HaTayrus. Yidiyah Satumah is a condition of the Tumah. The question is that true? Is that true over here? Because there is a Mishnah in the middle of Nazir, and the Rambam quotes all these Mishnahs. The whole series of Mishnahs, the person is a Nazir, he's a Nazir Vada, and he's a Safik Mitzorah, or he's a Mitzorah, and he's a Safik Nazir. A whole bunch of funny Mishnahs. What does he do? He has to wait so many days. He does a Tiglachas, and another Tiglachas, and how many Tiglachas he does. So the Mishnah discusses a person who is a Safik Mitzorah. So the Tesfei HaRosh on the side of the Mishnah, on the side of the Gemara Noza that printed in the Noam Shas, yes. How is that Gemalt? How is that possible, a person who is a Sufik Mitzora? The Gemara, the Mishnah says in the Goyim that whenever you have a Sufik, whenever the Kohen has a Sufik, whether he should declare the person as Tomei or not. So you don't declare him as Tomei. Whenever you don't declare him as Tomei, Mimela automatically he's going to remain Tomei, because the Tumavit, the status of Tumavitara of the Mitzora is always contingent on the declaration of the Kohen. So if the Kohen does not declare Tomei, then he's Tohar Vadai. He's not even a Sofek Tomei. And at the end, whenever Mishenechla Tatuma, once the Mitzorah has already been declared as Tomei, and you want to be Mitzorah him, so you can only Mitzorah him, I'll see Divrei HaKohen. So if the Kohen is Mitzorah, so then the Kohen is Mitzorah, whether he should declare a Mitzorah, the Mishnah says he should not declare a Mitzorah. So if he doesn't declare a Mitzorah, the Hechriyah is going to remain Tomei for the rest of his life. How is it possible to have a Mishnah discussing a person who's a Sofik Mitzorah, Sofik Ein Mitzorah? It's never possible. To bring the Kabbalahs again? Yeah, but the Mishnah discussed the other guy's Sofik Mitzorah remains like that forever and ever. Why should he remain? Bring the Kabbalahs again? Right.
So let's say he brought the Kabbalahs to the subside and came back, and that was the
Holocaust. Oh, okay. Okay, you have an odd Hechetim. Okay, you have an unusual Hechetim. So I thought that the answer to the Kasha, I think the Keren Ora says that answer. I know that. I thought the answer to the Rosh's Kasha, the Tosfei Rosh's Kasha, was the following. The Mishnah gives you the rule, that Mishnah is in Nazir also. Mishnah gives you the rule as to what the Kohen should do, what the Kohen should not do. So it says, in Mitchilo, if the Kohen is Mesufik, whether he's supposed to declare the person is Tomei or not, the Din says he should not declare him as Tomei. Once he will not declare him, if he follows the rules and regulations, he'll be Tohar Vadai. And if you have a Mitzorah who's Vadai Tomei, and then the Sufik is later whether the Kohen should declare him as Tohar or not, so the Kohen is supposed to follow the rules which say, do not declare him as Tohar, maybe he will remain Tomei Vadai. What if the Kohen doesn't follow the rules? What if there's a man standing in front of me, I'm a Kohen, and it's a Sofik whether I should declare him as Tomei? So the din is, I'm not supposed to declare him. I don't follow the din, I say, I don't like the guy. So I say, you are Tomei Mitzorah. I hereby declare you are Tomei Mitzorah. So will the Tumah be Chal or not? So I thought, in that case, it depends. If Klap Yishmai Gal Yivali Badem is the din is that he's supposed to be declared as Tomei, and I said, you are hereby declared as Tomei, he will become Tomei. But if the din is that he's not supposed to be declared Tomei, I can't take an innocent person who has no negatives and say, you are hereby declared a Mitzorah. If my declaration doesn't correspond to reality, so then it doesn't make any tumah. But if it does correspond, then it will make tumah. So whenever there's a stopping, the din is that the Kohen is not supposed to declare, and the guy is supposed to remain Tohar Vadai. But if the Kohen is a wise guy, or an Amoris, whatever, he goes ahead and he declares Tomei, so then he'll be a Tomei Mistopik. And the same thing in the other case, let's say a person was a Mitzorah, the Vadai, and then he went through a Tahara process, or the Sufik, if he went through a Tahara process, then the Kohen declares, you are Tahar. The din is that he's not supposed to declare him as Tahar whenever there's a Sufik. Whenever he has already been declared as Tomei, and it's a Sufik, whether he should declare him as Tahar or not, he shouldn't declare him as Tahar, leave him as a Sufik. What if the Kohen goes ahead and he declares as Tahar? So then it should be a Sufik. Then it should be a Sufik Tomei, Sufik Tomei. That's not what the Baal Tanya holds, that what I said is wrong. Baal Tanya says what I just said is wrong. He says that a Sofik Tohor, according to the Rabbanu Shlomo and Rabbi Ban Achmeni, if you're on the Rash, Pasuk like the Rabbanu Shlomo, the I'm passing against it, but according to the Safi Kadma say Alovan of Beharis, Safi Kadma Beharis will say Alovan. So according to those who hold Tahor, so the Balatani writes in the Drushes, in the Likutei Torah, he wrote this himself. The other Sefer Drush is written by his brother. Very hard to understand. The Torah is hard to understand. The other Sefer is impossible. There's another Sefer Torah Ur, and Bereshis and Shmos, I think. You don't know what's going on with the clock. This Sefer Chach, you can understand here and there, every 10 columns, you understand a word or two. You can understand some. The other one, the Torah, you don't understand that. Here the Balatani himself writes that this is like Sufik Mamzer, that Yidiya Satume is a condition of the Halay Satume. Whenever there's no Yidiya Badois of the Tume, there's no Tume. He doesn't say that this is a din how the kohen should be knowing, that if he doesn't know whether he should declare Mitzvah or not, let him not declare Mitzvah, maybe he'll be torn. He doesn't say that. He seems to assume that even if the kohen will violate the din and declare Mitzvah, he will be torn Rabbi, because there's no Badois of the Tume. Question whether that's true, whether that fact is true or not. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Kevin Eira says that that's the teret on the Rosh's kasha, on the Mishnah in the Gaon, on the Mishnah in the Rosh. How is possible? How did Gemara have a suffix in the Torah? You say a lot of them. Oh, not. The din requires that the Beharis has to precede the Se'alov, and if the Se'alov appeared first and then the Beharis develops around it, then it won't be a sin and tumor. So that's given, that we know. Because Machloik and Tatanayim is, if it's a self, he gazes a kodah. He doesn't remember. The guy Pasha doesn't remember. He wasn't watching, and he noticed the whole army used to be full of black hair, and all of a sudden now it has a Se'alov, but he has a negative Se'alov, and he doesn't remember which preceded it. The Torah to me with quotes from the Tur in the name of his father, the Rosh. The Tur has a Pirish al Torah, where he says the Pshat in Mitzorah Muzgor is that the Kohen puts a bandage around the Nega. He's Giras HaNega. It doesn't say that Yamazgir the person. It says Yamazgir the Nega. And then you take off the bandage after the 7 days. So he says if you look through Mishnahis and Gemara, it would appear that it's dead wrong. He says he doesn't think that Rosh must be some mistake over here. What happened? What happened again? Let's hear. He shouldn't have said anything. I mean, he shouldn't have said anything, and he would have remained Tahor. Nonetheless, he goes ahead and he says, "You're Tameh." But the stock will only be Chal. I think Karinari says the stock of Tumah will only be Chal if the Aliba Demes, he really is supposed to be Tameh. That person will be a Sophic Mitzvah, a Sophic Enim Mitzvah. No, right now. Right now, let's say there's a suffix if the Se'alovim was Kodmah Baharis, the suffix Kodmah Baharis was Se'alovim. And if the din would be like the Rash Paschas, like the Rabbanu Shalom, like Rabbi Ban Achmeni, that he's Tohor, and if the Kohen didn't listen to the din, he declared Tameh. So in such a case, that person will be a suffix Tameh, suffix Tohor. And then the Mishnahis tell you, how does he proceed for the rest of his life? What does he do? He's in limbo. A suffix Muzgar, a suffix Mukhlad. The Mishnah talks about a Sufik Muzma, about a Sufik Mukhlat. How can you have a Sufik Muzma, a Sufik Mukhlat? But that's perhaps the case. B'shem Rosh. The Tur has a long pirish. What they printed on the Chumash, the Balaturim, the Gematrios, and all the Rashi's and everything, that's only part of the Sefer. The rest of the Sefer is pirushim, a running commentary on the Torah. Gemara Kiddushin on Daf Lamed that we spoke about last week says that the Vav of Kol Holech Al Gokhon is the Emsa Sefer Torah Gosius. Doros Dorosh Moshe, and last week said, is the Emsa Sefer Torah of the Tevoy. His galach, that's a nesek, loy galayach, is the emta sefer Torah be psukim. That's a Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. His Galach, that's Hanasik Lo Yigalech, has a big Gimel there too. So that Pasuk is the middle of the Sefer Torah in Pesukim. So the Torah Gimel points out that there's a problem here too. All of these are problems. That's what it says in the Gemara Kiddush Daf Lamed. The problem is that we have printed already in Parshas Tzav on a different Pasuk. That if you count up, they just counted up the Pesukim, and it's a different Pasuk. And the Masorah has that. It comes from the Masorah. Not Tzav. So the Masorah is in contradiction and conflict with the Gemara. So just point out that there's a Taisvis and a long Rabbi Kivayin and Shabbos Daf in the case. But Taisvis says that you see that the Gemara had a different tradition in the Tanakh that differs from the text from the Masoretic text. And Rabbi Kivayin gives you a long list of all of the discrepancies between the Gemara's tradition of writing the Sifrei HaTanakh and the Masorah. That's a shada. So how are you supposed to write the Sefer Torah? So his galach doesn't matter, left hand the other. The Tosafot with a vav, without a vav, with the Marsha is one way, and the Masoret is a different way. How are you supposed to write the Sefer Torah? So the Chuvat HaRashbo, he says, Chuvat HaRashbo, Chuvat HaRamban, one of them, he says, you have to follow the Gemara. We assume that the Gemara had a better tradition than the Bali HaMasoret. Shlomo Gantzri in his Sefer for the Sofer, his manual that the Sofer used, the Kesef HaSofer, says, he misquotes the Tshuva to Rashba. And he says that the Rashba writes in the Tshuva, you got to follow the Masera. Not so. That's the problem. Professor Sid Lyman once gave a lecture on this Sefer, Kesef HaSofer, so he pointed out the Kesef HaSofer has a Haskama from the Chassam Sofer, that everyone should follow everything that it says in this book. But he says at the time that the Chassam Sofer gave it, it went through a different edition. Rav Shlomo Gantzri first wrote the book and he got a Haskama from the Chassam Sofer. Then he made a different edition where he changed and he added on a lot of things. So he says at the time that the Chassam Sofer gave the Haskama, this line didn't appear. He says you look in the old editions. And in a later edition, after the Chassam Sofer passed away already, he just reprinted the old Haskama and he added on other things. So he says, strictly speaking, this line in the Kesef HaSofer doesn't have the Haskama of the Chassam Sofer. So he doesn't know where the Chassam Sofer would agree, disagree with him, but he says it wasn't in print, he doesn't think it was shown to the Chassam Sofer at the time that he gave the Haskama. That's a big problem. That long Rabbi Kivayin, Shabbos Daf Nun Hei, is a big problem. You have so many conflicts between the Masorah and the Gemara. How are we supposed to write the secret Torah that's filling the mezuzah? How can you possibly be Masna? We'll need more than two. Maybe 1,000, because of all the possibilities. Maybe this one, you have to have an awful lot of Sefer Torah. The din of the Metzora is that he's Mishtalei Achut L'Gimel Machnoi. He has to stay in the Chutzla Machna. The Mishnah is saying he has to go Chutzla Sholosh Machna. The other Tameim, a person who is a Tamei, he touched the Sheret, or he touched an Avela, or something like that, is on the Mishtaleh Chutzla Machna Shechina, Chutzla Zora. The one who has the Tumei Yotzel and the Gufois, Mishtaleh Chutzla Machna Shechina, and that's the Azora, and La Machna Levi as well, that's the whole Harabai is. And that's a Tuma Yotzal Migufa, Tuma Sriya. And a Metzora is Mishtaleya, Chutz La Yoratam Kavitz Chaim, and Moisir Shubin Nun. Not only Chutz Yerushalayim, all Yoratam Kavitz Chaim. There is a Machlekes in Rishon, would he get Malkus? Lo Yovel Techa Machan is a lab. Chutz La Machan Moshav is just an essay. So if the Metzora enters Yerushalayim, he's like it. That's the favorite. If he enters Yerushalayim, he's like it. He's in violation of the lab, Lo Yovel Techa Machan. What if he enters into the other Ayaras HaMakav Tzchaim Yosef Shubin Nun? That's a Machloikis. The Rambam says that there's no Malkus, that's only an essay. And others disagree. There's only Goyen doesn't like that Rambam. He disagrees. He thinks that they all Ayaras HaMakav Tzchaim have the status of Machna Yisrael, and the Mitzor would be like if he would enter into any of them. Shomron is a problem. Here the Rabo Anashim Hayum Tzoran Pesach HaShoar. That's in front of the city Shomron. Why would they Pesach HaShoar? There's a simple pshat in the Hapar of Mitzvah. Simple pshat is because that was Gechaz Yishloshes Bonav, that they were cursed. And they were all, Elisha cursed them, that the Saras of Naaman, the Sar Tzvon El Haram, should be Nidbak Bohem because Gechaz Yidil Achil Hashem, he Elisha refused to take any matanas from Naaman, and then Gehazi ran after him and he said, my master changed his mind, give me all the money and I'll take it back. So because he made a chilul Hashem, so Elisha cursed him, and he and his three sons became a tzaroim. So it says that they were sitting Pesach Shar Shomron. They didn't enter the city. Why not? So usually you say, because Shomron, even though it wasn't Yerushalayim, was a near Hamakepes Chaimah, and therefore Mitzarayim are forbidden to enter. The question is, but it was not Mukefet Chamin in Moshe Shuv and Nun. It didn't exist. It was only built in those days. The Malbim talks about that a little bit on Sefer Melach. They were Noyik. They were Noyik. Ki Ilu had a din of Mukefet Moshe Shuv and Nun. Minhagim. Ikra then they could really go into the Minhagim in this. We usually think of Minhagim and Kriyas HaMegillah, Kriyas HaFer, and Dabin, Tila, and Sista. See, you have Minhagim and Shiluach, the name. That's what it means. It was a meaning that even though Shomron was not in existence in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, it was only built later, nonetheless, they were going to give it the status of Mukav Chamos Yeshua ben Nun. The question, to what extent do all Ayaret HaMukav Chamos Yeshua ben Nun, the bona fide Ayaret HaMukav Chamos, to what extent do they have the status of Yerushalayim? According to the Rambam, it's only needs to rest it. But the Yeshim Mukus Lamachim Moshav, it's not a lot. According to the Groa and the Gufa Rishayim, there's a lot also. Lo Yavol Sech Mamish Machin Neshchim. What about for the purpose of eating Kodshim Kalim? Can you eat Kodshim Kalim and Ayar Vatam HaKav Eschayim? So the Mabit writes in the Kiriya Sefer, the Mabit was a contemporary of the Beis Yosef. They lived in Tzfat in the 1500s. So the Mabit writes in his Sefer, they both wrote commentaries on the Ramah. The definition was more reasonable for him to accept it. The Mabit is wild out. Wild stuff. So the Mabit writes a wild statement. He says that theoretically, all Ayaret HaMukavos Chamos Yeshua ben Nun, you could eat Kodshim Kalim in them, because they all have the status of Yerushalayim. The only thing is that you have to shecht all the karbonos in the Azara. There's no place to shecht. So once you shecht it in the Azara, if you're going to take it through Yerushalayim, then you're going to take it out of Yerushalayim to one of Ayaret HaMukavos Chamos Yeshua ben Nun, become Nitzel B'Yotze. But if not for the fact that it becomes Nitzel B'Yotze, theoretically, one would be able to eat the Tzar Kodshim Kalim in all of the Ayaret HaMukavos Chamos. Then he has to tell himself, if that's so, why can't you eat Maaseh Sheni in all Ayaret HaMukavos Chamos Yeshua ben Nun? Because Maaseh Sheni, you don't have to bring to you the Beis HaMikdash, and there's no Psul of Yotze. So they all have the status of Yerushalayim. He says, no, Maaseh Sheni is Mochomer. Even though all Ayaret HaMukavos Chamos Yeshua ben Nun have the status of Machne Yisroel, they have the status of Yerushalayim, but get after the Kodshim Kalim. That's only Kodshim Kalim. Shani, that you need the real Yerushalayim, that's Mochom. Normally people would assume that it's just the reverse. If anything, if you want to distinguish, you'd assume just the reverse. Like the Ritzvot Taki and Marcus makes a distinction. We once spoke about this, you know, that Gagam Aliyah Slenis Kachu, Mar says in Sochim, if you couldn't eat the Korban Pesach, Al Gabi Hagag or Al Gabi Huali, you have to eat Afka on the ground level. That the Rajba seems to have understood, the Chuvas HaRajba, the Rebbe Kivege, Tehenzon, and the Gilyan HaShas on the side of the Gemara Pesachim around that Chivot, where that Gemara appears. The Rajba seems to understand that Gagam Aliyah Slenis Kachu is only a din in Korban Pesach. It doesn't even apply to other Kodshim Kalim. Other Kodshim Kalim you can eat anywhere in Yerushalayim, even Al Gabi Hagad, Al Gabi Aliyah, on the second floor. And the Tesis assumes not so, that it's a din in all Kodshim Kalim that you can. What about Maaseh Sheni? So the Ritzvon Makis, in the last parak in Makis, the Ritzvot says that the second parak in Makis, that halacha, Agadam Aliyah Slenis Kacha, only applies to Kodshim Kalim, doesn't apply to Maaseh Sheni. Because the purpose of Achilas Kodshim Kalim, you needed a higher level of Kedushas Yerushalayim than is required for the purpose of eating Maaseh Sheni. It's just the opposite from the Mabit. If anything, it makes more sense to say that if you want to make a distinction, right, it makes more sense to say like the Ritzvot, that you need more of a Kedushas Yerushalayim for the purpose of eating Kodshim Kalim than you need for the purpose of eating Maaseh Sheni. No? Is it Mamish one pasuk? I don't know, he says it based on Tzuk. The Mabit says it based on Tzuk. His whole word, his whole. He says everything based on Tzuk. Midarshan of Tzuk like a Tana. That's why the Sefer wasn't accepted, because he wasn't a Tana. He lived in 1500. He wasn't a Tana. Yer Sameach has a kasha against the Mabit. He gives you hechetinte where a behemah will not be nifsal b'yoytze. He says, if you shecht shlomim in the Azorah, and then after you shech the shlamim, then the blood is born. And the blood is going to run in the street or run out of the city. So the Gemara says that a live animal is not nisul b'yaseh. So he says, you mean to say, according to the Mabit, you can eat it in Ayuratam Kalashkaima? He has a raya, I think, from a Gemara against the Mabit. They're absolutely impossible, never ever, period. It can't be. So he says, according to the Mabit, it could be. Should have been able to. That's in the one of the opening pages in the Sefer Zer Avraham. Zer Avraham was the correspondence between Rav Menachem Zembe and Rav Avraham Luchti. Rav Avraham Luchti was the son-in-law of the Yerushalmeiach. He was married. Yerushalmeiach had one daughter, and she was married to a very big Talmid Chacham. And then he died. And he had no children. Then she died. They never had any children. But the Rav Menachem Zembe, who was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto, Rav Menachem Zembe published the correspondence that they had just to serve as a memory for Avraham Luftir. That's called the Zer Avraham, Bimkam children. He's never had any children. So every so often there's a letter there by the Yosameach. Every so often in the Zer Avraham, usually the letters that they correspond back, well, usually the letters by Rav Menachem Zembe are stronger than the letters by Rav Avraham Luftir. It's very clearly so. He writes much better. He writes which are much, much bigger. Heck, Rav Menachem, but Rav Avraham Luftir is also, he's not, no slouch. He writes nicely with her. Menachem Zembe is much stronger though. And then every 20 pages or so you have a letter from the Yerushalmeiach, also something special. So one of the opening pages, in the first 10 pages, there's a letter by Rabbi the Yerushalmeiach about this Mabit, that he has this Hechitim by the Uber, by the blood of Kachim, and he has the right in the Gemara against him. Isn't that when it was endowed with Kedusha? The Yerushalmeiach comes from Moshe Shulbinu. That's when they were endowed with the special Kedusha of Book of Chaim. The question, how are you Mekadosh in Book of Chaim? That's a Machloikis Rashi and Tesis in the first Perek in Shavuos. How is one supposed to be Mekadosh in Book of Chaim? The Rashi says, I think, B'shtei Taitis of the Shir. And Tesis says, what are you talking about? B'shtei Taitis of the Shir, that's how you Mekadosh Yerushalayim. How you Mekadosh in Book of Chaim? Tesis says, any idea. But they know that Rashi is not right. They don't know how you do it, but they just know that Rashi is not right. They're not sure how you do it. Chaim talks about in the Sefer Hayei Mekadosh. This is when you Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, and there were Book of Chaim, so the Kiddush V'chiluk, that was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, and that Book of Chaim with a higher level of Kiddush. He claims, Rav Chaim claims, according to the Rambam at least, Book of Chaim is just a higher level of Kedusha Sarat. Whatever is Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael is Mekadosh the Book of Chaim. So something became a Book of Chaim after the days of the Kiddush of Kibush V'chiluk, it wouldn't be Mekadosh. I mean, if you hold like Rashi, that a Book of Chaim has its own act of Kiddush, so then you can make a Shomron, you can build a city later, make it a Book of Chaim, and give it the act of Kiddush. Why does it have to dafke be Mekadosh be Moshe Yishuvinu? It can be Mekadosh later also. Where Rav Chaim says in the Rambam, you can't. The Mekadosh has to be whatever was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. So those cities that were Book of Chaim, they're also sure, when it's captured with this higher level of Kiddush. If there was Kibush V'chiluk on that year also, so the act of Kibush V'chiluk, which is Mekadosh, all of Eretz Yisrael, was also Mekadosh, the Book of Chaim, to a higher level of Kiddush HaSa'ar. And the Mabit told that that's wrong. The Mabit told that the Ayoros HaMekav Shama are not that they have a Kiddush HaSa'ar square, a higher level of Kiddush HaSa'ar. No, it has Kiddush HaMikdosh minus. It's a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdosh, so the Mekadosh of the Mikdosh has to spill over to the Mekadosh the Ayoros HaMekav Shama. Chaim has a little bit about it, the Sefer on the Rambam. According to Rav Chaim's Rambam, according to the Rambam, certainly, yeah. Because Mukav Chaim is just a function of Kedushas Haaretz. All of Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha to a certain extent. The Ayaros HaMekav Chaim have a slightly higher level of Kedusha. The Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael was Mekadosh those areas slightly more. But it's all one big Mekadosh.
Could be that it isn't so weird. I don't know. It could be that it isn't so weird.
it's just that you have the eight in the there, but it's not nice to be. I don't know if such a thing exists. That's a major machlekes among the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say, Tesis in Makitol, that Gag Maldis Lenis Kachim means that you have a new ground level. Wherever your ground level happens to be now, the Kedushas, Yerushalayim, for the purpose of Achidas Kachim, Kalamayis Hashem is only on the first ground level, up until the next ground level. So if you're flying in an airplane, but the airplane is moving, you can't say that the floor of the airplane is the ground level, it's moving. So the curve is, then you can eat Kachim, Kalamayis Hashem in the airplane, Kozman, there it's above. Shalim, it flies out not. It's Bavi Shalim make. Or if you have a house, so if you have a house and you have a floor that's Dala, something that's a new ground level, but then the Kedusha will be stopped. It depends on each year, the roof is lower, higher, it will change. And the rises, the Tirisham Yuchas Baharaivid on Mesechet Tomid, I think, says the standard Swarm who write on these topics, both these writers, he understands Gag Maldeis Lenis Kasha depends at the time. As they were Mekadesh Yerushalayim in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, where were the Gagim Aliyahs? So wherever they were, that's how high the Kedusha went. So in later generations, you have to figure out how high did the Kedusha go. Okay. I'll let somebody figure it out. Parshas Metzora is all about Taharas HaMetzora. So Taharas HaMetzora, the Gemara in the first parak of Yevamos has a long discussion about the Shtei Tiglachas that the Metzora has to have. He has two Tiglachas 7 days apart. He brings the Tziporim, and then it says, after he brings Tziporim, the Eteres and Shnei Telos, and that whole mitzvah, the Tziporim are not korbanos. It's not korbanos. It's not done on the Beis Hamikdash. It's a din, it's a mitzvah. And after he does that, then it says, the Gilachas Kol Tziaro, you should have a Tiglachas. And then he has to wait a week, and then Vayom HaShmini, a second time. He shaves off all of his hair a second time. The Gemara asks, how does he shave? The Tiglachas has to be dafke with a tar. The Mishnah says in the Goyim, Shloisha, there are three people who had a mitzvah of Tiglachas, and the Tiglachas has to be done dafke with a tar. One is the Levim, that was Ohai Rasha, beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, and one is the Metzora, and one is the Nazir. It's a requirement to have to do the Tiglachas after with a tar. So the Gemara asks, no, if he shaves off the corner with a tar, is the Hamamish in violation of the Yisra Deraisa? The Gemara says, this is the Mokra of the Dinah, that's the Dechalai Sasa. This is Sugin, beginning of Yevamos, the whole Sugin, that's the Dechalai Sasa, this is one of the Mekurves. Then the Gemara has the Yalfusa, what happens if the Mitzora happens also to be a Nazir? The Mitzora happens also to be a Nazir. So not only is he in violation of one lav, of shaving off your beard with a razor with one lav, the Nazir has an additional lav. Now the Nazir doesn't have to grow a beard. He can shave every day if he wants. The Nazir is only a din of Naziris on the hair on the head. But here he shaves the payas. When you shave off your payas, you're also in violation of a lav. Nazir is not allowed to touch the hair on his head till the end of the Pasar Rosh. Pasar Zok in the bottom, however we can shave, he can shave also. If he wants, he can grow a beard. If he wants, he can shave. But the hair on top, so the Gemara asks there, you have a pasuk that says that the Mitzvah is Megaleach, even if he happens to be a Nazir.